recordings have been started.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the RAAB sub-team call. On the call, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Siva Mutsutsami, Tatiana Kramsova, Michele Nilon, Steve Metellus, Christina Rosette, Stefan Hammack, and for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Heidi Ulrich, Margie Milam, Marika Koenigs, and Glenda Saint-Jerry. Thank you, Steve. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and thank
you. And we have, apologies from Tim Ruiz.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. And thanks, everyone. I circulated a proposed agenda yesterday afternoon, I guess. I don't know what time it was for you, but anyway, a little while before the meeting. So I guess I would ask if anybody has any additional items that they would like to add to the agenda. If not, why don't we go ahead and the first item on the agenda is to approve a revised timetable. We obviously have slipped from the timetable we adopted back in January or February, and once we had this meeting scheduled, I wanted to try to spell out what a revised timetable might look like that would enable us to wrap up our work, if at all possible, before the Brussels meeting. One thing I wasn't sure about, and perhaps someone on the staff can advise me on this, I'm a little unclear on the deadline, how far prior to a GNSO Council meeting our draft report would have to be submitted in order to be, even in theory, able to be acted on at that meeting. I'm not sure this is totally determinative for us because I'm not sure, we obviously can't dictate the GNSO Council agenda, but for example, there is a meeting on June 10th, and I'm not sure if anyone tell me when we would have to submit our report in order for it to be ripe for action on June 10th?
So it would be, this is Liz, it would be June 2nd, 8 days in advance, typically.
Okay.
Or to be considered at a council meeting. And then unless it's a council meeting, you know, a face-to-face council meeting like the Brussels meeting, and then there's a 15-day requirement.
So there's 15 days for that. So assuming that there is a council meeting on June 23rd in Brussels, which actually I didn't see that even listed on the calendar, but assuming that's the date because it's the Wednesday of that.
Yeah, I would assume so. I doubt the calendar's really posted.
Yeah, so that's 15 days in advance of that, so that would be June 8th, right?
Right.
Okay. So those, I guess, if you look on the bottom of the right-hand column, those would be the target dates that we have to shoot at, June 2nd or June 8th.
Steve, I should make one more point, too. This is Liz again, just that typically the council, too, will, like when you turn in a report, post a report, they'll take two council meetings, one council meeting to discuss the report and discuss possible responses or actions as a result of the report, and then hold it over to the next council meeting to actually act on it. That's what's the typical process is used.
Thank you for raising that. I wasn't assuming that they would act on it the first time that's available, but that's good to point out. So where I have a May blank deadline, in fact, I think we're looking at either June 2 or June 8 as our deadline. That doesn't change this timetable very much. Let me just say that I think in order to meet this timetable, we're going to have to go to weekly meetings starting the week of the 25th. I mean, if people are prepared to meet next week, we could do that too. But what I've got here is to have a meeting the week of the 25th. If needed, have a meeting the week of May 2nd. I think that would probably be needed. Have a meeting on May 9th, the week of May 9th. And probably have a meeting the week of May 16th, and, you know, we might have to have yet another meeting, but I don't think we don't have a very good track record in this group of accomplishing a great deal on the list, which is disappointing, but I think that's just kind of the reality. So I guess what I'd like to suggest is I'd like to open discussion on this timetable, but with the expectation that probably we're looking at weekly meetings starting the week of April 25th. So Michaela has his hand up. Anybody else want to comment on the timetable? Go ahead, Michaela.
It wasn't actually in relation to the timetable. It's just there's a few people who are having issues getting into the Adobe room. I think they're probably having the same problem I had with a call a few days ago where the system is saying the meeting has started and they can't get in.
Christina, is that the problem you're...
No, I'm actually stuck on the screen before that. I don't even get that far.
Yeah, I'm in the same position, Steve. Satin.
This is Marika. You might have to clean the cache. Sometimes if you use Adobe Connect regularly, you need to clean the cache from time to time to get it working again. Because from this side, it looks fine, and we don't see anyone wanting to go into the room. So you might want to try that.
All right.
Okay. Well, again, this document was circulated yesterday, so you'll find it on the archive or in your inbox. Okay. Any other comments on this? Are people comfortable with this and with moving to a weekly meeting? If we don't need it, we don't have to. But plan to move to a weekly meeting schedule starting April 25th. Okay, I'll take that as a yes. I'll tweak this to reflect the dates that the staff has given us as far as the deadlines. Now, another thing I'd like to raise in this regard, and the staff asked if we could do this, is rather than set the meeting time ad hoc every single week, which means that the staff has to launch a doodle poll and figure out what's available and so forth, can we try on the next doodle to come up with just have a set meeting date and time for all of our subsequent meetings, or at least for the next several subsequent meetings. I'll work out with the staff the best way to do that, but I think I agree with them. If we can say, all right, here's our meeting, if we can have our dates and times for the meetings for at least the next several weeks all at once, that definitely saves everybody time and energy. I know it makes it a little harder, and people may not be able to attend every single meeting, but let's try to do that when we set the date for our next meeting. Any other comments on scheduling or timing? Okay.
This is Marika.
Okay, go ahead, Marika.
Just one more thing for those having issues. Another thing you might try is just using a different browser. That sometimes works as well.
Right. Thank you. Okay, well, good luck, folks, on that. I'll try to point you if there's any other way to look at these. Actually, the next documents, I'm not sure if they're up on the Adobe anyway, but they basically... are from our email archive, and so if there's questions, you can look at those. I thought we did have some discussion over the last couple of days about task two and task three. Recognizing that we haven't completed task one because we have a document with something like 40 odd top priorities, and that still needs to be done. I think we need to resolve how we're dealing with task two and three if we can today, or at least make some progress on that. I sent around, again, just to remind everybody what task two and three are. Task two is from the list of topics, flag any topics that may require further analysis as to impact on consensus policy. That's the task we were given by the council. And now we seem to have two or three different views on how we should proceed on that. Up till now, we've been trying to do task two in tandem with task one, and you'll see on the matrix there are a few items where we've noted this seems to be handled by consensus policy, this seems to be something that's being actively discussed by another working group, and it was the PENDR working group. So I think we flagged a few issues, but now I see that Tim and Staten have suggested that one approach, and I think the staff in the memo that they sent around may have suggested another approach, and then I put in a couple of comments on a third approach. So why don't we just ask, you know, let's just review these and see what the different options are. So, Staten, can you tell us how you think we ought to handle Task 2?
Well, I was just supporting Tim's proposal a day or so ago, that we let ICANN legal staff take a crack at this, just because it could take things off us having to go through it, give it to them, give them a chance to do it. Apparently, they had done it in the past as well, and their input would be helpful.
Okay, so your idea is that we wait until they do that before we complete task two. In other words, we kind of subcontract task two to the staff.
I'm not saying we would have to stop work on what we're doing, but we would seek their input at this point in the process.
Okay. Margie or someone else from the staff, would you like to kind of walk us through this aspect of the memo that you circulated yesterday? I mean, I'm looking really at point three of your memo, which I guess is on the agenda page. Maybe you could tell us what the staff view is on who should be deciding whether an issue is more appropriately addressed through policy development process than an RA.
Sure, I can address that. The memo basically walks through the requirements under the RAA, and we were just clarifying that a couple aspects that I think there's been maybe some misunderstanding among some of the participants. And what we were pointing out was that although the amendments can touch upon consensus policy issues, the question really is it appropriate given the amount of work that we have and the length of the topics. And so the approach we took in the memo was to suggest that that we look at the amendments and where it's clarification of language versus a new policy. This is just purely a recommendation. That would be where you draw the line. Understanding that there is work already underway in some PDP groups and some things, like for example, domain warehousing or something. There's no work absolutely being done right now on that, and that could be a subject of a consensus policy development. So we were just clarifying that the way we view the contract, you can address consensus policy issues, but we think it's more appropriate where you're talking about developing new policy to go down the PDP path.
Okay, and what I took away from your memo was also that you thought this is something that the drafting team should try to.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't think that the legal department would want to go item by item in that review. That's something because the question is it required? And they, it'll just take them forever to get through that process. And so I think it's more appropriate to have it be work done in the group as opposed to seeking, legal advice on it. Because the legal opinion up until this point is, anything that's been consensus policy can be touched, but we just don't think it's appropriate, and think it's better handled through the drafting team.
Thank you, Margie. Let me just round out the picture, kind of walk through some of my comments on this. As I said in the first memo, I think we do have a pretty clear divergence between Staten's suggestion that the staff handle task two or provide input on task two, and Margie's suggestion that the drafting team try to do that using the standard that's in the staff memo. And then Staten had mentioned that this, the the staff had, the legal staff had weighed in on this question in the last go-round, so I kind of went back and looked at the process as Margie had sent around a memo earlier kind of outlining the process. And I found this document that I think came out in sometime in late 2007 in which the ICANN's legal staff went through all of the suggestions that had been made. They had a somewhat different process because they just had a public comment period. They didn't have a drafting team like we have. They went through all the suggestions, and they classified them in several categories. And one category was where they thought they were either under discussion in the context of a consensus policy already or otherwise because of their nature could/should be handled through the consensus policy process. So that's a quote, and I'm not trying to defend that standard because it's a little unclear to me what that standard is. But it's just interesting to note that of the issues they identified then that they thought were better handled through the consensus policy process, most of them are not in our list, at least as far as I can see. And again, I'd welcome any corrections to this list that I circulated. There are 14 items, and I think the majority of them aren't really in our matrix. Then there were a couple in our matrix that we've already had flagged under task two, or we'd said something like there's PEDNR involvement and it should be low priority. I think that kind of translates to the same thing, which is let's not focus on this as an RAA amendment. Let's let the policy development process continue on this. And then there were there was really only one area where I think where we might have to for some discussion of something that I don't think we've explicitly said is outside is something that, that has consensus policy implications, but that the staff apparently did think fell within their standard in 2007, and that was basically requirements for verifying the identity of registrants at the time of registration. And there are several different flavors of that, both in what was on the list in 2007 and in what's on what's our list. So that tells us two things. One, a lot of people think that's a good idea and think it should be in the RAA. And second, the staff 3 years ago thought that was something that was better handled through the policy development process. So with that exception, I think, and that's something I'd be interested to talk about, but I think otherwise, we've done a fairly good job of, I think some of what we've concluded or tentatively concluded about policy development process and consensus policies is probably parallels what the staff would say, or at least what they said 3 years ago. So I just thought that might be helpful in this discussion. So those are the three points of view that we have here. Statins, Margie's on behalf of the staff, Staten on behalf of the support of Tim's, and then my 2 cents worth for what that may be worth. So let me open the floor now, and I recognize that for some reason people have difficulty getting into the Adobe room. So please just speak up if you have a comment or question and would like to be in the queue.
Steve, it's Staten. I have a question. On our matrix that we have so far, did we mark things? You said we had already marked some as being flagged for consensus policy. Did we mark that in the notes or the implementation or the stakeholder recommendation?
We marked it in the notes. So if you
because I looked through the notes and I'm trying to find one where we say,
well,
for example, it is subject to, we believe subject to consensus policy.
Look at 2.2. Couple of observations, and then question whether it is more
question whether
as a consensus policy rather than through an RAA amendment.
Okay, so that's the language you use to flag it. Question. Okay.
Well, it's not consistent throughout, but that's one example. And then, as I mentioned, where we say PENDR is looking at this and it's a low priority, I don't think it's a stretch to say that's another area where they'd be. We don't think that should be at the center of the table. But, again, as we've walked through this, I think every single time when we went through a section, we asked, did anybody think that there was anything here we should flag under task two? And And clearly, if there is something you think we've failed to flag under Task 2, we'd welcome your input on that. Did anybody else have a comment? I had one question to Margie about the memo and the standard that's suggested there, and I'm trying to figure out how this would apply to the proposals that the staff has made, because unlike, I guess what's one thing that's different in our process this year is that we have a lot of proposals that came from the staff, including the legal staff, but a lot of others. This compliance staff and many others contributed to this, and I think it's really been incredibly valuable to have this. So, I'm looking at item 3.1, malicious conduct, register our duty to investigate. So one proposal that the staff put forward is cert language in the RAA requiring registrars to investigate within a time certain any report demonstrating harm from illegal malicious use of a domain received by the registrar from ICANN or other credible sources, and give some examples. And I just wondered if your memo says that if there's a new policy position rather than clarification of existing language or obligations, maybe it should go through a PDP process. How would you apply that test to item 3.1? Is that a new – this looks like a new obligation that you're talking about for the RAA. Is that something that the staff is now recommending ought to be taken off the table and diverted to the policy development process?
That's a good question. I think that particularly with respect to the malicious conduct issue, because a lot of our recommendations came out of coming out, but maybe coming ahead in the new DLD process, that might be an area where that rule may not necessarily apply. I mean, we didn't go item by item and evaluate it in that way. But that's certainly a reasonable question or comment.
Yeah, Steve, it's Staten. I think that's a great example to point out there. It's not so flagged as a consensus policy issue, but I would flag it as such, under the sort of guideline of new policy.
So you would, the staff isn't sure, and all right, that's helpful. Well, let me just ask if there are any other comments or views from people on the call about this task two. Okay, well, I'll give you my take on this. I mean, I think we heard from Margie that it's probably not practical just to ask the legal staff to go through this point by point at this point in the process. I mean, I don't know how long that would take, but it's got to be, it seems like unlikely that we'd be able to maintain anything like the timetable we've adopted if we did that now. What I would suggest, I think there have been a lot of opportunities for people to flag these issues, but I'm happy to ask people again on the list to let us know if they see other topics that they think, as Staten has said, for example, on 3.1, that they think ought to be taken off the table or moved away from the center of the table, if you want to put it that way, in RAA amendments and instead diverted to the policy development process. I mean, let's get those views into the out on the table. And then we can discuss, whether we agree with them, which ones command a consensus. I'll also say I think we've been a little vague about how we've carried out Task 2 up till now. I think Staten's question is certainly a very legitimate one, that we've said, well, maybe this is a consensus, maybe it's a consensus policy issue on 2.2. Ultimately, if we think it is, we should say so. I mean, that's not determinative, but if we have a consensus on it, let's just put it out there as a declarative statement rather than, gee, maybe there's a question here. So let's all be a little clearer about this, but let me just ask everybody to go through this matrix over the next week and identify any topics that they think should be taken out of the mix of the RAA amendments or flagged as presenting these issues as in accordance with Task 2. But I'm just not, I just don't think we can abandon Task 2 or turn it over to the staff. The staff will definitely have the last word on this. I have no doubt about that. That the legal staff, if you know, they have plenty of opportunities to intervene in this process. So, I would just suggest that we try to do it here and see if there are some that we can achieve consensus on. Let me ask for any reactions or comments on that point or other views on this on question two. Excuse me, task two.
Steve, I have a Staten. I have a question. If we do that exercise as you suggest, then what? I mean, we, you know, conceivably we'll have, you know, as many as the number of people in this working group provide their list of topics that they think we didn't properly identify as being consensus policy proposals at when we did a first pass. So after we get those divergent lists, are we going to attempt to reconcile the list, and or just, you know, we have a sort of second list of things that we as members individually have come up with?
Well, I think until we see those lists, it's hard to say that. We may find those lists aren't so divergent. It may
that's true. That's
most
true.
Most people will agree on certain things.
Sure.
Say 2.2, where the first pass, this question was raised, I would probably agree with that and say maybe that's, you know, a policy issue. I don't know. But let's see first if how much divergence there is. And maybe all we can say is we had divergent views on it, and here's what they were. You know, I think that the council chose the word flag. What we do in this process doesn't determine the issue. We're just saying someone ought to look at this. You know, we think this may be better suited for the policy development process. And if we can come to consensus on some of those, great. If we have divergent views, we just report our divergent views, I think. I'm open to other suggestions on how to proceed on that, certainly. Okay. Then, unless there's anything else on Task 2, let's talk at least briefly about Task 3. We had, just to review the bidding, we had a straw man that I put forward that called for a negotiating group of that included ICANN staff, the registrars, and representatives of affected groups that were not parties to the contract. There was a strong pushback against that, and Tim from Tim, who came forward with another proposal that we talked about last time. We had a good discussion on that, but I'm not sure we've updated that document to reflect that. But basically, I think he was talking about a registrars and ICANN negotiating this on their own, but reporting back periodically to a larger group. And I know that had some support. And then I proposed in response to Tim's latest proposal on this was something a little bit. I mean, I actually put forward two proposals. One is that the group be constituted, as I suggested, with a three-sided table, if you will, but that there be the opportunity for ICANN and the registrars, who are ultimately going to be the party signing this contract, to have confidential sessions if they need to, where confidential information is being discussed, and that there be some procedure for them to step out of the room and do that and then come back into the room. Or another way that another suggestion I put forward was that the ICANN and the registrars be the parties to the negotiation, but that these other groups, other affected entities, be granted observer status in the negotiation. And we have a fair amount of of experience and rules about what observers can and can't do in GNSO processes generally. And I'm no expert in that, but I know council members are probably quite familiar with this. So those were two proposals that I made sort of as a counter to Tim's counter. So that kind of reviews where we are, and I will open the floor for any comments, questions, or different proposals, if people have them. They want to speak on this, and again, please speak up if you're not, whether you're in the Adobe room or not, it's probably easier just to speak up if you want to be heard, want to get on the queue.
Steve, this is Staten again. Did you say there was precedent for having observers during the negotiation between two contracted parties in the within the ICANN process? Because that strikes me as kind of funny to have that would be the case. But I've not been involved in ICANN long enough to know if that's ever occurred.
I don't think that is what I said. I said there's a lot of precedent for having observer status in a lot of GNSO processes. In contract negotiation. But, you know, I mean, I think just earlier this week, there was a rather hastily assembled call for ICANN and the registries to talk about changes to the draft registry agreement that would be that all new GTLD registry operators would be required to sign. And ICANN was quite eager to have observers participating in that, and they did a big outreach process. In fact, they did that also with the consultation that was held in Washington on January 7th. So that is not a negotiation, technically speaking, but in fact, I think it's somewhat equivalent to it, that the goal was to come up with a contract that ultimately two parties would sign. And a lot of entities that were not anticipating being parties to that agreement were invited into the room to give their views. So way, I think that's something of a precedent, but I agree it's not exactly the same as... Other comments or questions? I see Michaela has his hand up in the Adobe room. So, Michaela, did you want to say something on this?
Well, yeah, I'd have to disagree with your comments there about the registry discussions regarding the new TLDs. I mean, what's currently going on there is a lot to do with the entire new TLD project, which is, at the moment, it's all kind of out there, up in the air a bit. So it's like kind of, you know, what we're going to do in the situation in the future. I mean, it's like with the vertical integration, with all these other things. I wouldn't see them as being parallels. I can understand how somebody might wish to use them as a precedent, but I wouldn't accept them as being a precedent. If it was a case of renegotiating the contracts for existing registry operators for existing TLDs, then that would be a totally different kettle of fish.
So the 60-year drawing is that in this case there isn't a relationship. I mean, since these are for the new TLDs, there is not a relationship that...
Yeah, exactly, because, I mean, the thing is, theoretically speaking, I could end up running a registry for new TLDs. You could end up running a registry for new TLDs. I'm not saying that either one of us wants to, but it's at the moment it's all to play for, and God only knows who is going to end up running registries. And it's not just a case of the registry contracts in the new TLD space will also have a direct impact on the registrars and the registrants. I mean, all three, plus ICANN and everybody else, how that entire kind of ecosystem is going to develop is up for debate and discussion at present. Whereas within the case of the existing contracts that may exist between the registry operators and ICANN, or any contract that exists between ICANN and registrars, you're talking about an existing contract.
Can I get in the queue, Steve?
Christina, did anybody else want to be in the queue at this point? Go ahead, Christina.
Just 2 points, and I understand the point that you're trying to make, Michaela, but I don't think it's the analogy is completely on point, in the sense that if ICANN were to renegotiate, let's just say, an existing contract with an existing new GTLD, it would not be possible for an entity that is currently a third party to kind of choose to become a party to that agreement. It's simply not possible. That's not the case, though, with the RAA, any entity that potentially in the future wants to become a registrar is going to be bound by that agreement. I mean, theoretically, I could decide to become a registrar. But the bigger point that I am concerned about, and I put this out in an email earlier today, is that part of the reason we are where we are right now is because a significant portion of the ICANN community found the process through which the 2009 RAA amendments were completed to be objectionable and inconsistent with the representations that were made as to inclusiveness and participation. That's why the CSG blocked the amendments the first time they came up to a vote for council. The reason we ultimately decided to agree to them, and I can't speak to the NCUC and CSG because I know that one of their issues was also the Registrant Rights Charter, which Group A is working on, but the only reason that we agreed to vote to approve them was because it was our understanding that there would be, and it was the intent, that there would be developed for the next set of amendments a process that was different. And if this process is not going to be different, we're going to end up right back where we started. It'll just take longer.
Thank you, Christina. Other comments, or do people have other thoughts on this topic? I'll recognize myself while people are deciding whether they have something else that they want to say. I would just go back also, Michaela, to your second point. I think these negotiations and what emerges from them also affects the entire ecosystem. Certainly, entities that aren't registrars and don't intend to become registrars have just as much stake in how these come out, how this discussion comes out, as entities that aren't registries and don't intend to become new GTLD registries would have in the discussion that just took place this week. I mean, and I feel confident I was not urged by ICANN staff to get involved in that meeting and that discussion because they thought I was interested in applying to run a registry. So I'm not sure that there's quite as sharp a distinction as you suggest. Other comments on Task 3? Are there any reactions? I know that this was not circulated until less than 24 hours ago, but I wonder if there's any reaction to proposals I made about observer status. I guess I've already heard some reaction on that, or on the proposal that it just be a three-sided table, but with two sides able to leave the room when they need to and have a private discussion. Okay, well, let me ask the people to give their thoughts about this on the list. I guess I would encourage Tim, who's not here, and Staten, if you can pass this along to Tim, or Michaela can pass along to Tim, that let's take his proposal and try to incorporate some of the discussion we had in the last meeting. In fact, I wonder maybe the staff could do that based on the transcript of the last meeting and try to flesh out Tim's proposal a little bit more. Is that something the staff could try to do?
Steve, I can do that.
Thanks. And then let's, we'll have to put that back on the agenda for our next meeting to have a further discussion about Task 3, I think, because obviously we haven't resolved anything even on an interim basis here, but I appreciate everybody's comments and viewpoints on this, and let's see if we can have further discussion on the list, as we often say. Unless there's anything else that people want to say on task three, I'd like to talk at least briefly about our activities in Brussels. We're aiming here to finish our work before Brussels, and we've already been asked whether we could take responsibility for some type of workshop or program in Brussels to explain what we've done, to walk through the list of topics and explain whatever our views end up being on task two and our views on task three, as a discussion forum. And presumably that would happen at the Brussels meeting before the GNSO Council meeting, so before the Wednesday meeting, so that the Council would have the benefit of that discussion. And this would be an open meeting, as I understand it. You know, anybody who attends the Brussels meeting or is there by remote participation could join. So although we are far from completing our work, I don't think it's too early to be thinking about this, and I'd like to solicit anybody's suggestions for how we ought to structure that, or I guess I first asked the staff, am I on the right wavelength here in terms of this being a likely step, assuming that we get our draft report done before Brussels, wouldn't it be likely that that would make sense for us to plan to some type of workshop or similar public forum on this topic?
Yes.
Go ahead, Margie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do think that would be an appropriate step. There's a lot of interest in the amendments process, and I think that will be a session that would be very well attended.
Did someone else wanted to speak? But I heard somebody else.
Oh, that was Liz just jumping in when Margie answered the question.
Okay.
And we just would want to plan a room and try to get a good time and all
right.
That challenge.
Yeah. Other comments on this? I mean, I'd be glad to say a little bit of what I've thought about on this, and that is that we might, you know, most of our topics here came from one of three or four sources, and we might think about asking representatives of sources, if you will, to be part of this presentation, and then obviously members of the drafting team as well. IPC had a working group that made a number of suggestions. The law enforcement group made a number of suggestions, as we know, and then the staff group made a number of suggestions. So those would be three kind of obvious presenters on some of these topics, and then others from the our group could certainly be presentation, and can't plan this in much detail right now, but at least to get the idea on the table and to ask the staff to try to work with us to find the best time and date and time for this, again, prior to the council meeting on Wednesday in Brussels, and see if we can move forward from there. I guess I will ask this on the list as well, but maybe it's useful just to ask those on the call today who's planning to be in Brussels and therefore a potential recruit to be part of our workshop once we. My plan is to attend the Brussels meeting. I don't know if anybody else knows yet whether they're going to be there. Cheryl will be in Brussels.
Steve,
can I
get
here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, first I'll be there, but second, I guess this is really a question for staff along with my preference in that I don't know to what extent it would be anticipated that whatever session we would have would cover both teams A and B. I frankly have no idea where team A stands on its work, but my preference would be frankly to just limit it to this simply because there's a lot of substance here and there's a lot of diverging views, and I think it would be important to have as much time as the schedule will permit to really allow people to talk and discuss and understand.
Yeah, and this is Margie. Yeah, I agree. This topic is going to take a lot of time, and I don't think that there's anything, you know, pending that from the other group that would necessitate it having inclusion in the session. So I think that's the probably the right approach.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Other thoughts on this topic? Michaela has his hand up. I assume it's on this topic. So go ahead.
Just to confirm that I will be in Brussels, assuming that Iceland doesn't explode in the meantime.
You could take a boat.
Okay. Let's move on beyond that, please. You do realize that both Ireland and the UK are completely shut down. There are no planes in the skies.
No, I know. That's why I was suggesting you could take a boat.
Boats work.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the boats are going to be a little bit in demand.
I'm sorry, McKinley. I have images of you in a rowboat. Stop working for me. I'm sorry.
Ah, come on now, Cheryl. You've seen me in a tux so far this
week. I
know.
I prefer the image of you in the tux than you in the rowboat, trust me.
Oh, God, what an image.
I hope you're wearing a life jacket anyway.
I think I've got my own buoyancy at this stage.
Right. Anything else on the Brussels topic? Okay, the last item we have on our agenda is really just to mention that we did receive, and Glenn circulated, I think there was three or four letters from various groups, Interpol and the Octopus group, which it sounds kind of menacing, and I think we don't want them in our rowboat anyway. And there were a couple of other letters that were supportive of the law enforcement proposals, and I guess this is a follow-on to the statements in the GAC communique about the law enforcement proposals. So, I think there's a letter from Interpol, a message from the Octopus Conference, which is part of the Council of Europe, and from the G8 Lyon-Roma group, high-tech crime subgroup. So you all have those, and I don't think there's any action that necessarily required. I think we determined on our last call that these law enforcement proposals are the same ones that we've been looking at throughout and had a whole session on with Bobby Flame from the FBI, and so they're definitely in the mix, and I don't know that we need to do anything more, but just wanted to note for the record this very strong statement of interest and support from these various international groups, law enforcement groups, on these proposals. I don't know if anybody else has any additional thoughts on this. I see Cheryl and Michaela. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. I think what it does do and what we should note, now I agree there's no particular action item per se to come out of that, but having tabled those documents, and I think it's very important that, it was very specific from the GAC's point of view that they do be passed on to us for our attention and at least note. It is a mechanism of bringing considerable warning to us and indeed the GNSO that the GAC is highly interested in these particular aspects of the work we're doing, and to that end it might be a very good idea to get presenters from that particular part of the spectrum in the Brussels presentations as well.
Excellent suggestion. Michaela.
The thing I suppose that concerns me a small bit is that unless I'm misreading things, the documents that have been circulated are identical to the ones that we discussed previously. So
right.
I suppose what concerns me there is that although we discussed our concerns and tried to understand what exactly they were looking for as opposed to what they were asking for, which isn't always the same thing, they seem to just have kind of shoved that out there without making any changes whatsoever, and that does concern me. But as well as some of you know, coming from a country which doesn't have a GAC representative or any other representative, I feel a little bit powerless.
Cheryl, did you?
Oh, thanks. I was waiting. I thought Michaela might pick up a point that I realised I'd dropped before I passed the microphone on. And I certainly hear what Michaela says, but I did want to mention, of course, whilst I understand this may be a gathering of the troops and trooping of the colour exercise on the issue by GAC, and that's fine too. That's how the game's often played. What is important is that we did have that meeting with Bobby, and there were particular action items and closing of loop issues. There was a whole bunch of things that he said, ah, thank you for that perspective. We will now take that into consideration and we will get back to you on this. So we actually need to go back and close that loop. We need to revisit that whole area of discussion, because it was a dialogue where both aspects of original points of view shifted, and there was an undertaking for us to have further input from them. I think we need to make that happen.
Just coming back on that, if you don't mind, I mean, the thing from my perspective was, you know, I felt that the conversation we'd had with Bobby was very, very productive, and I felt a hell of a lot more comfortable after that. And then when you see these documents coming out months later with absolutely no change, no consideration, nothing further on anything that we had discussed with him, it's quite depressing. I mean, I could come up with a better word, but I think I'll just stick with depressing. You kind of feel to yourself, you know, what is the point? I'm bashing, you know, we're trying to understand what it is that they're trying to achieve, seeing how best to do so in a manner that works for everybody, and they then throw this thing out, and, well, it's not particularly encouraging.
Other comments on this?
Yeah, Steve, it's Margie. After we had the call with Bobby Flame, and, you know, we had several calls after that, I actually went back, read the transcript, and updated our notes to include some of the areas where he made some concessions on, you know, where their proposals might, you know, vary. So I know that the latest version of the document we have, you know, includes some of that information. I actually did not see a document like that explains their current position. It just seemed to be a high-level, you know, description of what they were looking for, but it's possible I missed it. The only detail that I was aware of was the documents that was shared by Bobby early on, you know, in whatever, October of last year. So, Michaela or anyone else, if you've actually seen more detail, please forward it, and I'll, you know, take a look at it.
I think we've confirmed that there is no additional document. We talked about that last time. There isn't a new document. At least that's what I was told by Bobby.
Yeah, and I was told the same thing. So that's why I felt pretty comfortable that our spreadsheet, you know, included some of those concessions. And I can, you know, I don't think I can pull it up right now, but I know that I revised it to incorporate some of the discussion that we had.
All right. Well, you know, the ball is kind of in our court in this sense that I think when we get our revised version of the matrix, I think it will reflect some of the, hopefully it will reflect a lot of this, the discussion with Bobby and other input. So part of this is a communications gap that probably some of the people sending these letters aren't aware of what we've been doing, even though the matrix has been on publicly archived mailing list. It isn't exactly, you know, prominent. So
it's not front page.
Right.
It's not front page reading for the majority of the world, surprisingly enough.
So they really they may just be unaware of this. But I think I think our best way of taking this view on board is to move as quickly as we can to finalize our document or our draft document and get that out there and get the actions of the law enforcement people as well as everybody else, and also as Cheryl has suggested, if assuming we have a workshop in Brussels. Let's get law enforcement, you know, as well. Now, I see Cheryl and Michaela have their hands up. Is this something?
No, no, we both put them up again, but I'm going to cede to the depressed Michaela because I need to support my depressed colleague. So you're first now, Michaela. Go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. No, I mean, the thing, Steve, I think you're being very generous to them about this because whether the documents that they're using for the basis of all this has changed or not wasn't what concerned me most in the last few weeks. I mean, some members of law enforcement were speaking at various events across Europe, and they made references to various things that were in that document and the things that we had discussed with Bobby that, you know, could be, I'm not looking in case of kind of toning it down, but let's just say modified in such a manner that you wouldn't end up... Yeah, end up kind of breaking the internet. Because the fear I have with some of the stuff that law enforcement are trying to push is that you could end up in a situation where, sure, you might not have any bad guys, but you wouldn't have any space for any good guys either. And that's something which does concern me a lot. And I don't believe that be going easy on them will actually help us in any regard, and obviously, since I'm not a shy little wallflower, I'm more than happy to take that up with them myself. But I think it would be useful for us as a group to formally go back to law enforcement and say, look, guys, you know, you've had this conversation with us. We have notes. We have transcripts of the conversation you had with us. Have you changed, modified, taken on board, done anything with anything that was discussed, or are you going to blindly continue down this route as if you never actually had the conversation with us in the first place?
Michaela, I guess what I would suggest is that if you think we need to respond more formally than we have, I'd invite you to draft something and circulate it on the list, and let's respond.
Can I get in the queue after Cheryl, please, Steve?
You can, but as I indicated, I have a hard stop now, so I'm going to drop off here. I'm going to pass the gavel, if I can, to Margie. Margie, are you in a position to chair the rest of the meeting?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Steve.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Christina.
No. Cheryl, go ahead.
Oh, Cheryl, sorry.
Oh, we're easily confused, aren't we? Thanks, Margie. Look, I just think that what we should be doing is turning this particular issue into an opportunity. I do see it's a good point for us to revisit our discussions, our conversations, and our perceptions and assumptions we made when we met with Bobby. I'm unsure whether we'll have a hell of a lot of time to do that and do the other body of work between now and Brussels. So I was going to propose that not only in Brussels should we be looking at with particular granularity at most of the work we are doing and hopefully our report by then, and dig in a public format way with greater granularity to the whole set of issues. But it might be quite appropriate to have, because of GAC's interest and people having a mismatch on gut reactions about, oh, this all sounds very good because it keeps us safe, and besides, law enforcement thought it was a good idea type responses, to thinking more deeply about, yeah, but at what cost and how is it going to actually work? They're the sorts of questions which are very, very fruitful to explore in a panel or hypothetical situation. So we might actually look at two proposals. One, the straight workshop system that we've discussed earlier, but I wouldn't mind putting on the table a possibility. So it does involve GAC. It does involve proponents from industry. It sounds like Michaeli's happy if he gets his rowboat there to sit at the table and do this, to have this full, frank and fearless discussion in a public forum, even if it's in a little mini hypothetical or shortish sort of panel. It would satisfy community interest and needs. It would help raise the skill set and knowledge of us all. It would be very accountable and very transparent, and I think it would get a big tick from the nervous Nellies in parts of the GAC.
Christina, were you next in the queue?
I believe I was. I think that is an excellent suggestion, Cheryl, which suggests to me that at a minimum, I guess we're looking at probably Monday afternoon as a practical matter, because I think, you know, the GAC folks don't really start working until Sunday.
I agree, and if it's something that GAC is interested in, they want it Monday afternoon. And I'm happy to bring it forward in the joint SOAC Chairs Forum for that reason, if the work group wants it.
Well, and I, speaking personally, would shed no tears if this replaced the kind of joint AWAC, the ACSO thingy that we had in the past couple meetings. But I do think that's an excellent idea. I guess the only other question that I would have is, you know, I have kind of been trying to figure out exactly, like, when are we going to be done, and whether the expectation of those of us in the group is that once we present our report to the council, we have the session. Is the expectation that the council then picks it up, or that we would go back? Only because, just looking at the original resolution, we're coming close to being a year behind.
Yep. I know it's recorded, but can I just say shit happens? There you go.
Well, I know, but I guess I would personally like to keep it at, you know, a year or less rather than more than a year.
I'll just loop back to my previous comment.
And if I could follow up on that, I mean, you know, you talk about sending it to the GNSO Council, but, you know, we also may want to open a public comment period on this as well. So, you know, that extends your time period as well, if that were to be one of the steps undertaken. Michaela, you have a question?
No, two things. First off, I would very strongly support Cheryl's suggestion. If we can get law enforcement, GAC types, other interested parties from industry, whatever, in the same room to have an open and frank discussion, debate, arguments, whatever, then I think that would help a lot. Because I personally feel that a lot of the people within politics are easily swayed by the "what are the poor children" type arguments. I mean, we've already seen this happen in Europe with the data retention directive. If you're not familiar with it, I mean, the spirit of it is not abhorrent. The spirit of it is fantastic and commendable. The reality is that it puts an enormous burden across on a whole range of entities, and it actually doesn't solve the problem that we're trying to resolve in the first instance. So the entire thing is like, right, you've got the thing for, you know, looking after the poor children. Of course, unless the Catholic Church is involved, and then you forget that. It's another conversation. But anyway, the other thing is with regards to timelines and everything else, while I appreciate that people would like to get things done quickly, I can't remember which working group it was in, but I mean, I think we're better off doing it properly rather than quickly. Because ultimately, if you want to make significant changes which are meant to improve things, then you're better off doing it in such a manner that you don't have to revisit it again as soon as you've managed to get 60 or 70% of the market out signed up. By the market, I mean as in registrar controlling at that percentage of the market, which I think in some respects is what happened with the last amendment. But no sooner had it been agreed on then people were unhappy and wanted to go back on it. So rather than ending up in this kind of ridiculous cycle where you go through an entire RAA revision cycle, you eventually manage to get something out the door, and then almost immediately you have to start all over again, which I think is a little bit silly. So, you know, that's just my personal take on it.
Oh, no. And just, you know, to the extent that anyone thought I was saying, you know, we need to get it done quickly at the expense of getting it done right, that wasn't at all what I intended to convey. And I guess I had a follow-up question for you, Michaeli.
Sure.
I have no idea what you're talking about when you're referring to these more recent law enforcement statements. Are there transcripts or reports anywhere?
There's been a bunch. I mean, I monitor a lot of keywords both on Twitter and Google, so I see a lot of these articles appearing. There was a law enforcement meeting in the UK, I think, within about the last month or so. And what was being reported in a lot of the kind of the press was kind of verbatim, seemed to me to be almost verbatim, like sections pulled from the documents that we'd seen. And various people within law enforcement, I mean, some of them would have been kind of unknown entities, but others are known entities. So the kind of people that I'll end up arguing with in DNS abuse forums, those kind of people. I mean, they're great guys, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it was, I'll see if I can dig something out, a few links, but there were several ones, mainly in the UK press that I saw this stuff appearing. I think, you know, the likes of, say, Guardian Technology, BBC Technology, Computer, whatever the hell it is, a few of those ones, big UK ones.
Okay.
I don't think I saw anything on the Register, but it was mainly in those ones. If I get a chance, I'll see if I can dig you out something.
That would be great.
I think there was some meeting or other within the last month or so, and this sparked off this entire thing. So it was like kind of out of nowhere, it was like suddenly, boom, law enforcement, you know, flexing their muscles. And the way they were doing it it gave me the distinct impression, okay, obviously I'm going to be slightly more sensitive to it than somebody who isn't a registrar or who doesn't get all the stuff from USPA. You know, I just kind of went, oh, hold on a second, you know, what the hell is this about? This is like kind of, you know, that entire dialogue never happened.
Mm.
Or some of the side conversations I've had with law enforcement at various events over the last couple of years. Because I mean, I deal with some of these. Well, I don't deal with them. I bump into them at other events in Europe. So I don't know. It just concerns me that you're going to end up with a similar type scenario as what happened with the data retention directives in Europe. Which, if you're not familiar with them, you've got an EU-wide directive which has one body of text, which of course totally ignores the technical implementation of it. And then you have each member state going off and implementing it in its own way. And the variance in the implementation is scary. It varies from 6 months to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't actually solve the problem because they're talking about retaining certain logs, but they're also talking about not changing a whole load of other things. So you end up in this ridiculous situation where somebody's able to go back to the constituents and go, but look what we've done. Aren't we great? Aren't we wonderful? Pat on back. And all the ISPs and everything else are going, oh, my God, the only people who are going to gain from this are people who make hard drives and mass storage arrays, because we're going to end up having to store this data for a stupid amount of time. And, by the way, nobody's actually worked out how on earth you're going to be able to extract the data from the logs. And if
facts into the issue, Michaeli. You know that doesn't work in politics.
Well, here, I'll give you one little story. I'll keep this brief. About a year ago, we were contacted by the Irish police to help in an investigation of some kind of serious crime or other, which involved something to do with some website that we hosted. We host thousands of websites, and to be perfectly honest, I have no idea what we host, and I'm keeping it that way. They sent down two guys from Dublin. I mean, we're an hour and a half drive, so they sent two guys down in the car. so the time for them to come down, they came into our offices,
introduced themselves and then disappeared for a lunch, came back again and then had to spend like 2 hours with one of my technical staff trying to, so that my technical staff could actually explain to them what the hell they were looking at. Because it wasn't simply a case of them collecting the logs, they didn't even know what they were looking at. Mm-hmm. And then you give them the log file and go, here's the log file, and they're scratching their heads, going, you know, what is that? So you then have to go off and teach them TCP, IP, and basic HTTP codes and, you know, various other things. I mean, the entire thing was just ridiculous. But, you know, that's the fun part of us, you know. Fun and games, fun and games.
It sounds okay. Like we need to, if I may, sorry, I didn't put my hand up. I was also, Heidi's demanding of me for my next meeting. She's trying to get the agenda set up for 2 hours' time. It's difficult to work for so many masters occasionally. No, it's not. Look, I think what we do need to do is post to the list the concept of a two-prong approach, a traditional workshop, which I think should, if at all, happen before the all singing, all dancing, more exciting for the public and press and everything else topic of the law enforcement needs. So I think we need to look at the scheduling and timing of that fairly carefully. But I'm happy to take it forward, at the cross-chairing level, which does have mandated influence on timetabling, as some of the staff will know quite painfully, timetabling at these meetings to get a Guernsey on the Monday, if that is the feeling of the wider work group. But I'd need to know that relatively fast. So if we could get some feedback from the list and from others, clearly Michaela and I and those of us on the call think it's a good idea, but there's more to be considered than just us.
Okay, Cheryl, I will I'll send a note to the list to solicit additional input on that, but I appreciate your volunteering to push that forward if that's where the working group ends up.
I'm more than happy to volunteer. I'll moderate. I'll do a song and dance routine. I'm very, very keen on getting this one sorted.
Right.
I appreciate that, Cheryl.
So now we're about 15 past the hour. Should we go ahead and close the call, or is there anyone that wants to make final comments before we sign off? No? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
Cheryl refers to me as a colleague. Oh, my God.
Bye, everyone. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.